you. And Lord, I just pray that you give us ears to hear. Lord, I just pray that as we hear your word, Father, we would apply your word to our lives. And Father, that we would continue to be transformed by the renewing of your spirit. Lord, we sung today that we open up our hearts. Lord, we don't want to quench your Holy Spirit, but we desire to be transformed more and more into the likeness of Christ, to exhibit your fruits in our lives, to be your hands and feet in this world. Thank you, Lord, that we live in a time like this. Lord, we thank you that you're working in our lives. Lord, help us to hear and surrender to you as we've sung today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Romans 8:17-25, we will be talking about it. And so in this passage, Paul gives us essential perspective of suffering and the believers in the believer's life. So as a believer, we go through suffering. We don't get a pass. Sometimes we think, why don't I get a pass? Well, we live in a sinful world, a fallen world. And God uses all things. Romans 8:28 says, he uses all things for those who love him. He uses all things. So if we love him, he'll use our circumstances, our situations, everything that we go through for his glory. Right? Think about the persecuted church. I think, man, I want to be like them in a way to have a faith and trust in him. Right? Because to go through suffering every day, to face the difficulty, face the persecution, you need to have an intimate relationship with the Lord. Right? And we know through scripture that persecution causes the church to grow. Not being soft, as much as we don't like persecution, but the church grows. You look in Iran right now. If you think about Iran, huge, huge Muslim population, right? I think, what is it, over, I forget how many mosques have been shut down because people from Persia are surrendering their lives to Jesus Christ. The church of Jesus Christ is growing in Iran today. So you see all these Persians are coming to faith because Islam cannot satisfy them, give them hope. He can't even satisfy them, can't even speak to them. He's dead. And so here you are, you see how the church is growing. In China it's growing. North Korea it's growing. Anywhere there's a lot of persecution, the church is growing. So it's kind of hard to say, Lord, I really want this church to grow. Lord, I really want my life to grow. But leave the suffering out. Right? But we, as believers, need suffering at times to help us grow in the Lord. And so, as we have this hope, this expectation of, if you're a believer and a follower of Christ, you have this expectation of a future with our risen Lord in heaven forever. Where in Revelation 21:4, put that on the screen, says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I think about that's as a believer, that's what we're going to receive shortly. I don't know the time frame, but it's sooner and sooner every single day. Right? Every tear from their eyes, there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more aches. You received transformed. Body, a body that's no more sin. It's going to be amazing. So as we read Romans 8, verse 17 to 25, I have it. So this is the New King James Version. It says, and if children, then heirs. So in verse 16, we're talking about we, as children of God, we've been adopted. Right? If you're a child of God, you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become adopted. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also be glorified together. For I consider that the suffering of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And that's, you look at it in Revelation 21:4, it talks about that. This is the hope that as a believer that we have. Right? This is why we can face the difficulties, why we can go through turmoil, why we go through persecution, why we can suffer. Because we know it's not the end. Verse 19, and it says, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to the fatality, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. There will be, at the very end, after through the tribulation, 7 years of tribulation, then the millennium will come. Then during the millennium, Satan is bound in hell for 1,000 years. After 1,000 years, there'll be a time when Satan will be allowed out, and people will come against God again, and God will make his final judgment. But then there will be a new earth, a new world, and there'll be perfect peace. Creation be back how God created in the beginning. Everything is longing for that, expecting that. Verse 23. Oh, so we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption of the redemption of our body. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But we hope for what we do not see. We eagerly wait with perseverance. Sometimes we don't like waiting. And sometimes we lack perseverance. That's a lot. Are we eagerly waiting to meet the Lord in the air? Are we eagerly waiting to be in heaven forever with him? So suffering is a part of humanity. Every day, suffering is difficult. I don't think a lot of us can attest to that. It's a part of every human being's life. Every one of us go throughout our lives, experience it in various forms of trials, difficulties, suffering, hardships, hurts, pain, setbacks, loss of a loved one. We experience it physical. We experience the pains through emotional, even financial, spiritual, but all this is a part of living in a fallen world, sinful world. So none of us can escape it. Unbelievers, people who have not received or repented, accepted, or put their faith and trust and reliance on God, have to experience all these sufferings of a fallen, sinful world. But they do not have the hope that the believers have. That'd be very difficult. Seeing everything we see, even as believers, we have difficulty with suffering. But we have a hope. We have the hope. We have Jesus Christ. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit who enables us to go through this difficulties and the sufferings. He enables us. He strengthens us. He carries us through those sufferings, those difficult times. Can you imagine not having the Lord and going through all the difficulties and sufferings right now without Him? That's why there's so many people are self-medicating, why they're looking for things that bring momentary satisfaction, because they cannot face the difficulty alone. They mask it. And sometimes even for believers, we do it. Right? We will not turn to the Lord, but we rather self-medicate, watch TV, and unplug. But are we turning to the Lord? Do we desire to say, Lord, here I am. I'm going through this difficulty. You think about only a believer, a genuine person who received Christ as their Lord and Savior, who is sealed with the Holy Spirit, can truly have hope, to have tremendous peace throughout the difficulty, and be content and have joy through the difficulty. You think about James. Who has James 14, 4? What is James 14, 4? Did I get that to somebody? My readers have. Didn't I not get that to you guys? Okay, I'll just read it. So, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But what is your life? Is it even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away? Our life is very short. Our life on this earth is very short. There's eternity after this life. That's forever. So the momentary sufferings, the pains that we go through right now, is just a moment. If I would had if you think about this chairs, road chairs, and this is all shows in eternity, come over here, your life is here. That's a very short time compared to what eternity is. When you think about eternity, we're never going to have any more pains, no more suffering, no more heartache. So the suffering that we are facing right now may be overwhelming. It might be too much to handle. The Lord says, cry out to me, and I will help you. I will encourage you. I know a lot of us have been through difficulties. I know personally when I go through difficulties, through very heartache and where I can't even turn to anybody, but I turn to my Lord, who has strengthened me and encouraged me. My walk with Him has grown deeper and stronger. My reliance on Him has increased. And only because of my reliance on Him, I was able to get through the turmoil and the suffering. And people around me is like, how did you even do that? How is that even possible? And I'm like, because my faith and my trust, my reliance on God alone, who's my hope, who's my strength. He's the only one who got me through it. And also, during that time, God brings godly people around you who will pray for you and encourage you. But sometimes if we aren't telling, don't want to tell anybody what we're going through, we don't have to suffer it alone. Right? Sometimes we don't want to tell anybody because we don't want to say, oh, I'm going through hard times. Because we don't want to look weak. That's why the body of Christ gets together. So we pray for one another. We encourage one another. Build one another up in the Word of God. Come alongside. Not to gossip about what's going on, but we come along and pray for one another. To encourage one another. That's what the church comes together, because we all go through different types of suffering. We're not exempt. Suffering, God, when God created the heavens and the earth, He created everything, and He made us right? When you think what God made Adam, there was no suffering, there was no death, there was perfection. Only because of sin. When sin came into the world, that's when everything went downhill. You look at what sin does and the effects of sin, how sin affects you and I because of people's bad choices. Hopefully that makes sense. So suffering helps us to draw closer to the Lord. Does it? I hope so. We often seem to grow the most when we go through difficult times. Suffering strips us of artificial or temporal securities. What's your artificial or temporal securities that you have now instead of the Lord? When we go through difficulties, those things are being stripped away and revealed. We know when we go through suffering and difficulties, it reveals who we are actually relying on or who we are depending on. And this is God's long-suffering. He doesn't want you to do it on your own, but he wants you to trust him, to rely on him, to grow in him. As we read and meditate on his word, as we read his word when we are going through hard times. So John 16:32, did I get that?
Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is new come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because my Father is with me.
2 Corinthians 4. Yeah, 8 to 9. Who has that one? Yeah, 2 Corinthians 4, 8 to 9. That's it.
We were hard pressed on every side. We were hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed.
You know, how does an oyster? How does the pearl make? How's the pearl made inside of the ocean? By irritation. Think about the irritations that we go through this life. What is God trying to develop in you? We sung it today. It's like, Lord, my body is yours. I surrender all. This temple, this body that we have is not ours. So what irritations is the Lord doing in your life to cause his fruit to be established in your life? We don't like irritations. Sometimes we get really annoyed. Right? We like get so frustrated. But those irritations, we have to say, Lord, help me to see what you're trying to do in my life. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing those irritations and help me grow in you. Be utterly dependent on you. Don't think irritations are from Satan. God is doing a mighty work in you. He wants to shake you up to reveal the things that we have placed higher than him so that we would ultimately trust and depend on him and rely on him to walk after him. So Lord, thank you for irritations in my life. So we're going to read 2 Corinthians 4:17-18.
For this light, momentarily affliction, is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For things that are seen are transcendent, but the things that are unseen are eternal.
For things which are seen are temporary. So the suffering that we are going through is only temporary. Temporary could be like 40, 50, 60, 70 years, right? But think of the work that God's doing in your life. How do I see it? What's my perspective? Do we get bitter? Do we get bitter, resentful towards God? We can. Have we? Yes. You know, it's evident that the world is full of suffering. We see that every day. Physical, emotional, spiritual pain have been and will be part of this human experience. We don't like it. You know, Jesus suffered while here on earth. He experienced sorrow. He experienced hurt. He suffered, was betrayed, experienced loss of loved ones. He was persecuted, crucified by Roman officials, suffered, but he rose again. Suffering will indeed come, but God can give us grace and power to overcome every trial to fulfill his purpose and mission in our lives so that his kingdom will be glorified. So the Bible gives counsel on you know, why is there suffering, right? Well, one, we live in a fallen, sinful world. Sometimes we suffer because it's our own sinful and foolish choices. And we make foolish and sinful choices, we repent and ask God to forgive us. And he restores us. We may suffer because others sin around us. There's effects when people sin around us. Suffering brings judgment. God brings judgment upon different countries or different cultures because of the rebellion against you. Suffering, you might suffer because there's satanic or demonic attacks of some kind against you. Because maybe you're suffering because God is trying to get your attention and trying to get you looking to him rather than your situation. God has a redemptive purpose. He wants to redeem you. There's sanctification going on in your life. Right? And so there's some, when we go through sanctification, there's some processes, some irritations that sometimes we want to run away from. So however, most of us go through daily mental, some of us go through mental or emotional anguish, not being able to react the way perhaps pleases God. Maybe we are suffering in a relationship today. Perhaps we are wrestling with financial struggles. It could be that you are running into a way of opposition from work. It could be that you're in a current spiritual battle. You know, here on earth, we are at war. Ephesians 6 says, we do not war against the flesh and blood, but we war against the principalities, the spiritual side of it. Satan is trying to discourage you. You know that? He doesn't want you to have your full hope and trust and reliance in Christ alone, but rather that you would look to what you're in. You know, Paul prayed that God would use his suffering. You know, Paul, you think about what Paul went through. And yet, he never once said, "Poor me." he was all for the glory of God. So Paul realized the suffering is a part of taking up his cross. We said, Lord, I want to take up my cross today. And I want to follow you today, Lord. So when you say, Lord, I want to die to myself, Lord, I want to pick up my cross and follow after you. And when we say that we want to experience the suffering that Christ went through. We say these things, but do we really mean it in our hearts? Right? We have to be thinking about what we're saying. God knows your heart. He knows truly what you can actually handle. Right? It says that we go through these. We're not crushed or squashed or anything, but he upholds us. He allows his grace and mercy allows you to go through whatever you're going through today. It's new and new every day. So you can handle whatever you're going to face today because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul wrote about, Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer when I go through suffering? And he says, I have overcome the world. Because the Holy Spirit lives within you, that's why you can actually have joy. He's the one who enables you, who empowers you to live this life. Paul wrote about his responses to suffering. I've worked much harder than most, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again, 5 times from the Jews. You know, he got the slashes 39 times. Not once, not twice. Right? Think about that. You can now barely walk after even once. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was night and day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger in danger of my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country. He's been in danger from false brothers. Because I have labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and I have gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for the churches. That's in 2 Corinthians 11. And he talks about that. Paul uses suffering to enhance his credibility, influence, effectiveness, so that God could use him in a greater way for his purpose. So the suffering that we go through, it's not in vain, but it's for the glory of God. And for us, we try to rationalize it in our minds, don't we? How can this be a loving God? He allows us all to suffer. He is a loving God. He never meant to be a sinful world. He gives you the child of God. He enables you to live this life. He upholds you through this. He's a very merciful God. If he wasn't a loving God, he would not even help you through the difficulties. You know, Paul teaches us that creation stands with eager expectations, waiting for the glory that will come. You know, thank you, Lord, in advance. He's working all these purposes through your hardships. Did I get somebody Job? Job 42? Job 42. You think about Job. You think about Job. Job loved God. He was rich beyond measure. He had all this. And Satan came to God and said, you know what? Job only loves you because of all that he has. But God knew Job's heart. And God said to Satan, well, you can do everything you want, but you cannot kill him. And you think about how Job still praised God, even after his wife just cursed God and died. Right? But Job had a love for the Lord. He knew him. No matter what he was going through, he knew it was nothing compared to what is yet to come. So I know that you can do everything. God can do everything. And that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. So God has a purpose. Sometimes we're like, why is it suffering? Why do I have to go through heartache? Why do I have to go through this? God's developing more of his fruit in your life. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understood. Things too wonderful for me which I do not know. God says, my ways, our ways are not his ways. His ways are higher than ours. I want to read, and we read 1 Peter 1, 3 to 9. Who has that one? There's 1 Peter 1, 3 to 9.
Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you.
Did I only write down 4? Oh, my apologies. I thought you were shortchanging me. Okay, we'll read. So we got 5 up there. So, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, through now for a little while, if it need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, this is what he's trying to reveal, we have genuine faith in the Lord. Even though we are going through trials, even though that we're going through difficulties, we have genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with a joy inexpressible, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's what we have to look forward to. But we suffer here, the irritations that we go through is producing God's fruit in us. Proving, do I have genuine faith in the Lord Jesus? Because some people say, oh yeah, I know Jesus. I received Christ as a child. I was baptized. Is that really salvation? Salvation is repenting of your sins, confessing that he's Lord and Savior. Dying to self. That's true salvation. It's like, I am going to die to self. I confess and repent that I am a sinner. I fall short. I need a Savior. I need a Redeemer. Romans 3:23 says, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all were sinners at one time. If you are a believer and child of God, you're no longer a sinner, but we all have sinned. We all need a Savior. We all need a Redeemer. Without a Redeemer, you cannot be truly saved. If you're a child of God, you would be repenting when we sin. Because we sin often. 1 John 1:9 says, if I say that I don't sin, and I make out God to be a liar, We need to confess our sins and get right with God every day. Because none of us live a perfect life. When we get caught up in the air with the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15 talks about in a blink of an eye, our bodies are transformed. So John 14, 25, who has John 14, 25 and 27?
These things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid.
So here, God is a very awesome God. He encourages us through it all. Romans 5, 1 to 5. Bella, do you have that one? Oh, you gave it away.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Amen. That's the good news we offer. You know, apart from Christ, you don't know how to deal with suffering. We have to trust him. And at times it can be hard. I just wrote this. It says, Lord, here I am. Help me to trust you in the circumstances. If we don't know the Lord, it's never too late. You can always say, Lord, I know you've been calling me. I know that you've been reaching out to me. Lord, forgive me for my stubbornness, my arrogance. I recognize that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Lord, I repent of my ways, and Lord, I confess my sins to you, and Lord, I confess with my mouth and proclaim that you are my Lord and Savior, but my hope is trust in you alone. So, Father, thank you that you alone give us hope, eternal hope. You give us eternal joy and comfort, knowing that these short afflictions, Father, are just temporary. These aggravations, irritations, Lord, thank you that you're producing in us more of your fruit, exposing if we have genuine faith in you. So, Lord, have your way in us. Lord, I pray that you would search our hearts and reveal anything in our lives that needs to be dealt with. And Lord, where we need to surrender, depend on you, Lord. We just thank you for the trials that we go through. Even though they're difficult, even though at times we don't understand why. But Lord, we're going to put our faith and our trust and hope in you alone. Be purified by you. We thank you for sealing us with the Holy Spirit, who enables us to live this life. Thank you, Lord, for you say you've given us all things necessary for life and godliness through our knowledge of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us all things necessary so that we can face the things that we are facing. And Lord, help us to cry out to you and depend on you. Help us, Lord, to be open and ask for prayer at times, or you ask for people to stand with us. Lord, help us not to be proud of it, but Lord, help us to walk in humility.